This morning, if you would, take your Bibles. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6. Jeremiah, chapter 6. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. The reason for that is because when you read his book, you'll know, you'll find that the problems that he had was with a people that knew not God. And God brought judgment upon them. And Jeremiah had to be the deliverer of the message. And I cannot imagine being a prophet having to give the message that Jeremiah gave to a people that hated God. Being a preacher is far different than being a prophet. All we do is we restate what was there as a preacher, but as a prophet, he got his word from God and gave it directly to the people. And Jeremiah dealt with some very, very serious issues, some very serious problems, and he paid the price for it. And sometimes when you serve God, you pay the price. Sometimes when you stand for righteousness, you just pay the price. And may God help us to be willing to do that. The book of Jeremiah, chapter number 6, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture, a very familiar verse in this. We will read it. But I want to back up to verse number 10 in the 6th chapter of Jeremiah. And we'll read down a few verses here. And it won't be long till you'll get the sort of the gist of the problem that Jeremiah was facing. And what God said was to be done. Verse number 10. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot hear. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of fury of the Lord, and I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, and the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and their wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land. Notice who's doing the speaking here, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet even to the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. Verse 16 would be a great verse, and it is a great verse, but it would be a victorious verse if it didn't have the next statement. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. The condemnation is well given here by the Lord, spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. I believe it's very plain here what happened. And by the way, he's talking, he is writing to God's people, the Jew. Now, I'm not a Jew. As far as I know, have no Jewish blood, but what God said to the Jew, His people, I believe God says to the Christian, His people. The same application can be made. And this morning, I want us to just think about some of these words and some things that need to be restored. The book of Jeremiah is a great book of the Bible. We may, before too long, make a study of the book of Jeremiah, because it has some very timely things in it that is good for all of us. It has a lot of great principles in it, and the prophet Jeremiah is exhorting the nation for them to repent of their evil deeds and to return to the Lord. That's pretty much the gist of the whole book. Repent and return. Our text here is a summary of really the book of Jeremiah's message. It's a message that was given to a people that did not want it, would not hear it, and would not follow it. It's a message that came from God, but yet they did not regard it as important. And the scripture here says that he told them to do certain things, to walk in certain ways, and they said, "We will not walk." It's not that they didn't understand, but they just said totally, "We will not obey." He told them, he says, "I've given you the words and the law," and they said, but they rejected it. They totally rejected the things that God had given unto them. During World War II, right around the time of the Battle of the Bulge, there was a group of German soldiers who dressed themselves in the uniforms of the Allies. They dressed up as American military, they drove American vehicles, and they went through the German countryside, and they changed the road signs. They changed the direction. And the signs would maybe say one way, and they'd change it to another way. And when the Allied troops and the American troops came from the various crossroads, they were often fooled, and they were led off in the wrong direction. And really, this deception by the Germans almost gave the victory to them in that particular battle, because the road signs had been changed. If I wanted to put it, and I did put a title to the message this morning, it's just restore the roadmap. Just to restore what we have. I don't know, probably some of us, many of us have those things we call GPS, and we fuss at them because they lead us wrong. I went to see somebody, and they said, "It says you have arrived at your destination." I was in the middle of a cornfield. I was nowhere near where I thought I was going to be, but I followed it, and I'd been deceived. If you have it very long and you don't update it, you'll get a message across it that your maps are out of date. You need to update. Well, putting that in perspective this morning, there's been some things changed down through the years of our roadmap that's leading us in the wrong direction. There's some things that's taking place, and I know this is not sometimes with people not popular, but I'll tell you what, the old way is the good way. And it's the best way. And that's why God said, get in the old paths. It's a path that leads right. Not everything old is bad. Not everything is old is archaic. Not everything old is out of date. Buddy, this is old, but it's not out of date. And I'm glad I can read it and understand it. I get perplexed. But we have a book that is a roadmap. And I don't need a new one. I don't need a revised one. I don't need a message. Heard a fellow read out of the message. I read it before he did, and I couldn't figure out what it was. So I went to my computer and typed it in. It told me what it was, the message. Now, that message is polluted. I read John 3:16 to Sharon. I said, "What was that?" She said, "I have no idea." Nowhere near the same thing. So the roadmaps have been changed. Now, I don't make any apology at all. I believe this book is is the Word of God. And so there are folks that have come through and they've changed the road signs. They've changed the map. And they're leading down the wrong direction. Well, someone said, "What? But now, preacher, you know we've got to change with the times." No, we don't change with the times. Never has the church of the living God changed with the times. Read history. Don't read the rewritten history. Read true history. Just like these German soldiers confused and brought death in changing the signs, many of today are dealing with the very same thing on the spiritual road of life. I want to give you some thoughts about Jeremiah. First of all, Judah had a pattern of their rebellion. Judah was the people of God. They were Israel. They had a pattern of their rebellion. Jeremiah chapter 3, beginning in verse number 6, it says, "The Lord said unto me in the days of Josiah the king, Hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up of every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot." God doesn't mince words. He said they've gone up to every high mountain. When you read high places in the Old Testament, it means that's a place where they went to worship idols. When they went under the green tree, that was a place they'd set up their idols and they would worship those idols. And so, here Jeremiah says, they have gone to every high mountain and under every green tree, and they played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. Judah saw it, and I saw it. When for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I put her away and give her a bill of divorcement. God said, I don't even want her anymore. And so here Judah has a pattern of rebellion, continual, over and over and over again, snubbing God and not worrying about what God wants and not worrying about what God said. And they just go their own way. And God said, I just gave her a writing of divorcement. Talking about Israel. Goes on in that passage, says, Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot. It came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and stocks. And yet for all her treacherous sister, Judah had not returned unto me with her whole heart. And the Lord said to me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself. I'll tell you what, America may be getting today exactly what America deserves. Because we've done the very same thing that Israel did. We've gone off and we worship everything. We do everything. We don't consider God in anything. And so we wonder why things are so wrong. Could it be that God says you've played the harlot? You've gone the wrong direction. And God said, I've written you off. I know. Not popular. So Judah played and Judah had a pattern of rebellion. That's just one passage. Jeremiah was a preaching preacher. And he preached one thing, and he preached repentance. And by the way, in case somebody has any problems with that, repentance is still in the New Testament. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's the words of Jesus Christ and no one else. So Jeremiah, his preaching was a preaching of repentance. He says, "Return thou backsliding Israel," in Jeremiah chapter 3. "I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not, keep anger forever. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding." God said, if you return, if you repent, if you come back, God said, I will heal your nation. I'll heal your problems. "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return to me. And if thou wilt put away thine abomination out of my sight, then shall thou not be removed." But you read on down, they don't do it. We come to chapter 6. It doesn't bother. There's no blemish. There's no sorrow. There's no shamefacedness. There's nothing. We do what we want to do. So Judah had a pattern of rebellion. Jeremiah had preaching repentance. But Jehovah has paths of righteousness. He said, come back to the old paths. He tells us here in our text, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths." Where's the good way? Somebody said, I don't like that old way. Argue with God then, not me. God says to Israel, go back to the old way. Now, I'm not against modern things. I'm not against technology. I'm not against using what we have for the glory of the Lord and the honor of God. But I certainly am against the way some people are using it and calling it church. I'm not against teaching the Word of God and going and digging out what the words mean, but I sure am against all this stuff that they put out and say it's the Bible. How can we restore the roadmap? It's been destroyed. I mean, there are things that happen in our daily walk of life that I never would have thought I'd had to come in confrontation with. It is so foreign to my thoughts and my pattern of life that I don't even put up a roadblock to it because I don't ever think about it until all of a sudden it hits me right in the face. I should have done this. Or I should have made this statement. Or I should have made plans for this because we don't think that way. And so the roadmap, the path that we have has to be restored. Return to the old paths, God says. And He says, it's stand in them. That means to stand firm. That means to get in there and stay there. So it's a good way. And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your soul. So you stand, you walk, you rest. Where is that at? In the old way. In the old paths. Now, I'm not saying do away with lights and electricity. And I'm not saying do away with air conditioning. I would never do that. I'm not saying those are the old things. I'm talking about the blessed old Word of God. I'm talking about morality. I'm talking about spirituality. I'm talking about things that are right and according to God's Word that we have let go by the wayside and we're reaping the harvest of that this very day. Why should we restore it? Because we find there the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people think, or maybe think even in this congregation, that when you come to church you ought to be entertained. Well, my friend, church is not entertainment. If you feel that way, then you need to check up on your feelings. Find it right here. I don't believe Jeremiah was too entertaining to those people that he was talking to. I doubt very seriously that Peter was very entertaining. I doubt very seriously that James was very entertaining. James probably being that first pastor of the church of Jerusalem. I doubt very seriously, oh boy, we've got to entertain if we get a crowd. Go ask James. He had about 12,000 in that first church. No, the kind of people we want we get by entertainment. Oh, you can make it a 5 and 10 show. You can make it a carnival. You can make it a place of joy and fun, games and gimmicks, and you can fill her up. But I wonder how many people get saved in that kind of atmosphere. Well, we get them in, we'll preach them the gospel. I've never seen it happen. Not very effective. So we've got to do something. The map has been changed. The roads have been altered and problems have come up. What's the requirement of the Lord? Well, by the way, it's not a request. Notice here, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord. Does He say, would you please stand in the way? Would you please see the good way? Would you please do that? Does God say that? No. He doesn't make a request. He makes a command. There is a difference. The requirement of the Lord is that we turn from wickedness. The requirement of the Lord is stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein and find rest for yourself. Israel was in a mess that day, and Jeremiah had the recipe to help them. God had the recipe. Is God making this statement to get in the old path? It is God that says, stand therein. It is God that said, walk therein. It is God that said, find rest for your souls when you do that. It is God's Word, not Jeremiah's. So here we find the requirement of the Lord for us is to get in the old path. Find out exactly what God has for us. When we refuse to call sin exactly what it is, then we're out of the path. When we push things under the rug and we just let things go, then we're leading to a difficult day. The Bible plainly states that all men are sinners. The Bible plainly tells us that we are born in sin, we are raised in sin, and we are sinners by nature, by choice, by practice. And the only way that can change is not through some ordinance or some organization. The only way that can change is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has been shed for us, and we believe and trust in Him in a personal way that He's our Savior. It's not coming down signing a card. It's not coming down getting wet. It's not coming down doing anything except believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But that roadmap's been altered. While there's so many different ways to get to heaven, you just have your choice. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father except through me and by me. And Jesus said, you're not going to come to me unless the Spirit draw you. So it sounds to me like the whole process of salvation is left up to God. Well, that doesn't go over too well a lot of places either. My salvation is a God-based salvation. He brought His Son into the world, and His Son died and shed His blood that I might have life. And the only way I'll ever find Him and the only way I'll ever believe upon Him is the Holy Spirit quicken my heart and my life that I might trust Him. The word quicken means to be made alive. We're dead in sins and trespasses. And you can explain that word dead any way you want to, but you just know you're dead. When you have a funeral, you're dead. And God says we're dead in sins and trespasses. Can that corpse raise up and do anything? No, sir. Can that corpse do anything? No. Can we do anything to merit God's salvation? No. We're dead. It's all because it's the gift of God. And He offers it through His Son, Jesus Christ. By the blood of Christ. You see, there's another roadmap. It's through the blood. There's another sign there that sometimes they want to cloud out. Oh, we don't want that bloody religion. We don't want that kind of salvation. Well, if you don't want it, you don't get it. And when time comes to meet God, you won't have it. Hebrews 9:22 says, all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. The old paths involved and the roadmap involves the work of God through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Our Bible is the Word of God, and He tells us that it's through the blood that we have life. Hebrews 10:25, here's another road sign. It's been muddied and mired. It says, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Well, I go every once in a while. That's not what God says. Well, I go when I get ready. That's not what God says. God says we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know where the word church comes from? It's the word that means assembly. Ecclesia. And here in the book of Hebrews, Paul uses the word, forsake not the ecclesia. Don't forsake the house of God. Because the manner of some is that they have forsaken. Oh, but the last part of that verse says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. What day is that? The day of our Lord's coming. We are living, I believe, in the last moments of these last days. And I believe with all my heart it wouldn't surprise me any at all if Jesus was to come before I get finished with this message. I believe He's coming. The problem is, the roadside has been muddied up and changed so much that most people don't know the seriousness of the hour in which we're living. The old paths is when people love the truth and hate the lie. The old paths is when cursing was wicked. The flag was honored. America was beautiful. God was welcomed. That's the old paths. We don't hear much of that today. Isn't it a terrible thing that sometimes our children can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance because it offends somebody? Isn't it a terrible thing that we can't say God without offending somebody? Oh, and surely don't say Jesus. Don't talk about Jesus because that's just terrible. Why have you know that this country is founded upon God and Jesus? It wasn't founded upon Muhammad and Allah. It wasn't founded upon Buddha. It wasn't found. Now, those folks have always been welcome to our country, and they've always been welcome to worship any way they want. And I would fight for them in a minute to have that freedom. But they don't fight for us to have that freedom. But I would fight for them to have that freedom because that's what the Bible talks about, a personal liberty that we have in Christ. I can't force anybody to believe what I believe. That'd be foolish to try. All we can do is proclaim it. Though paths is when laws were based upon the Bible and homes read the Bible and churches taught the Bible. Now we have a hard time finding the Bible. Wonder why we're in a mess. The old paths, when preachers were more interested in converts than they were clothes and cars. There's always been a stigma about a preacher who's supposed to drive a Buick. That's my generation. Well, I drive a Nissan. I drive a rice burner, Bradley. I got that car brought to school. The kids said, "What'd you get that rice burner for?" I said, "Because I get 40 miles a gallon, that's why." Takes me $30 to fill it up, what it takes everybody else 70. I'll take it. But we need to be more interested in people than we are things. We ought to be more interested in, and these are things that have been tampered with. There was a time when churches wanted to reach people and they wanted to do all the things that they needed to. And churches where God was worshipped. By the way, you don't have to have a worship team to worship. I don't have to have 4 or 5 people up here being worship leaders. I believe the only worship leader in the house of God ought to be the preacher. I believe what we do for God, we do because we love Him. And I don't believe we ought to dance to the music. Oh, I may be getting hot water. It's okay. That's not even in my notes. The old paths is when God was worshipped, Christ was exalted, and the Holy Ghost was followed. That's the old paths. But now I hear kids say, "Well, I don't want that old stuff." Heard somebody say, "I don't want that old book you call King James." Well, you better like part of it. Now, I'm not of the group that says you can't get saved out of anything. I believe the Word of God, it's just about everywhere you want to find it. I'm glad I got a standard. Got a book to go by. There's a response. He said, "Stand ye in the way. Walk." He tells us here, we are to stand. Among the definitions for stand is that you stand your ground. You don't just stand up, but you stand your ground. I believe we ought to stand our ground in the old paths. 1 Samuel 17, David spake unto the men that stood by him. What did they do? They stood and they fought. The Hebrew children in the Old Testament, Nebuchadnezzar, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to King O Nebuchadnezzar, "We are not careful to answer thee this matter. If it be so, if our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, He will deliver us out of thy hand, O King. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Those three men said, "If we die, we die. We believe God will deliver us, but if He doesn't, we're still not going to worship your God. We're still not going to bend down to what you say. Because we know God's able, but if He doesn't choose to do that, then we're just going to stay where we are. We're going to stand." But that's standing. This could go on and on. Stand in the path, the old path. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way, and see and ask for the old paths where is good, and walk therein, that ye shall find rest for your souls. We need to stand for the Bible. We need to stand for the blood. We need to stand for the blessed hope. I mean, we need to stand. We need to know what we believe and say, this is non-negotiable. Now, some battles are not worth fighting, but some are. Those three things are worth fighting. The blood, the book, the blessed hope. I guess this is maybe a continuation of last week when I had all these fellows come up front. If we don't stand, how will they? If I don't do it, how's my child going to do it? Oh, they may see enough, a little bit out of me. They might stand a little bit. But then how's my grandchildren going to do it? Because they're not going to see anything. And so the process goes on and on. And so God says, stand. And by the way, there is a reward for standing. There is a reward. What's the reward for making sure the road maps are right? What's the reward when you punch in that GPS and you put in an address? What's the reward of that? It's that ever how far you're going, ever how long it takes, you arrive at your destination. When I went down to Clearwater for Brother Ebert's funeral, I put in the address of the motel. And you know what? Oh, I'm so glad. When I put that in there, it told me how many miles and told me how many hours, and I sort of blocked that out. But when I got there, it said, make a left turn or a right turn, whichever it was, and your destination is on the right. I looked up, bless the Lord, there's the motel. It was back there. I mean, you couldn't hardly get there from where I was. You had to make a U-turn and go back to another. You went, I think you was with us. Maybe it was Dan. You had to go this way, and the motel was over there, and you had to make this kind of turn to go, so you go, anyway. It told you how to get there, and I arrived at my destination. You know what? When I die and leave this world, I'm going to arrive at my destination. Why? Because I had a good road map. Because the road map wasn't changed. Because the road signs were not blurred. They were very clear. When I was growing up, it was very clear about how to get to heaven. It's not that clear today. So the rewards is that you arrive at your destination. Secondly, you arrive safely with the Lord guarding our way. Stand in the path and I'll be with you, He says. And when we get there, oh, praise the Lord for the fellowship that we have. There are some definite rewards to the old paths. But the last part of verse number 16, but they said, we will not. I've got that underlined. We will not. God said, do this. And they said, we're not going to do it. So there's rewards for getting in the old paths, but there's ruination that comes from departing from the old path. Our text tells us here that there are some that decided that they would not walk in the Lord's path. And the result of their choice was chastisement and destruction. Look at verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. And they said, we will not hearken. You know what the trumpeters were in that period of time? It was those that would stand on the wall or on the corners of the wall, and they'd look outside the city, and they would tell you whether or not enemy was approaching. And when the watchmen on the wall would see that, they would sound the trumpet. You give a clarion call, a distinctive call. Now, Ezekiel tells us that when people are on the wall and they're watchmen, if they refuse to sound the trumpet, then the blood of those that die is on their hands because they did not do what they were supposed to do. But if they sound the trumpet and we don't do what we're supposed to do, it's sort of like getting a siren at night, 2 o'clock in the morning. The storms are blowing, the tornado is coming, and we hear the sirens and we do nothing about it. Well, if we get mingled up and broke up and everything lost, we can't blame the siren people because it went off. If we get beaten, battered up because we didn't get in a shelter, only person we can blame is us. The blood's on our hands. And the Lord said, if those people hear the sound of the trumpet and they refuse to hear, then the blood is on their hands, not the watchman on the wall. We are living in a day when most people, quote-unquote Christians, are refusing to walk in the old path. Either it's too narrow, or they don't think God is that way anymore, or it's inconvenient, or it's not popular, or what will my friends think, or it just goes on. But many people today that could be powerful people for the Lord, they're letting these road signs that have been mired and clouded and changed to affect them so much that they'll never amount to anything for God. Some of them are preachers. And some of them may build large churches. But I'll have you know that success with God is different than success with men. We have the call. We have the message. And if we refuse it, it's on our hands. And it not only affects us, it affects the next generation. It destroys people. My Bible says Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Am I against technology? No. Am I against advancement? No. Am I against doing things that would be better to enhance the things of the Lord? No. 1,000 times no. But I am against changing the road signs. I am against changing the map that leads into glory. Am I against doing things that's easier and better? No. Am I against doing something that is modern? No. Well, we've even got a screen that goes down now. Am I against that? No, no. Oh, by the way, we're not going to put praise and worship courses up there either. Am I against new things? No. Am I against things that just don't work right? No. We're here because God has put us here. And if we can use something for the glory of the Lord, then so be it. If we can use something that honors God, I used this thing this morning teaching Sunday school. Brother Gallagher's not here, so I had the Sunday school class, so I used it teaching Sunday school. I hope it helped visualize some things. Is that wrong? Because it's new? No. That never goes wrong. It's not wrong. But I'll tell you what, when you depart from the truths of God's Word, you've gone too far. In just a few days, hopefully a week or so, we'll have this thing up here. And I hope it works right to use it with this instead of my fingers. Is that wrong? No. Is it a help? I hope so. Don't worry. You're still going to have your songbook and all that stuff. But may God help us to realize there are some paths that we are to stay in, but it's okay to change some things along the way. We've got a camp meeting coming up. We've got all these things happening, and it's for the honor of God. Well, I'll tell you what, if America doesn't get right with God, we may not have it long. Not the way we have it today. Oh, it may still be called America. That doesn't mean. Israel is still called Israel when God said, you've departed. So may the Lord help us today to not blur the road sign, not change the road sign, not have any alteration of it. But God help us to follow the clear-cut, charted course that comes out of this book. Let's stand together this morning.